her slender waist. Ryan and his group carried all of their weapons, including the Steyr rifle and the Smith & Wesson M4000 scattergun. It wasn't a time or a place to take any risks. Rainflower walked quickly, barefooted, through the gates, turning to follow the side of the lake for about a quarter mile. Then she cut off to the left along a clear track that took them close to the huge pyramid. After another 200 yards, they were all swallowed up by the jungle. The track was growing narrower, and they were passing fewer and fewer side trails.
How long before we get to the old base?
The young woman hadn't spoken a single word since they'd left the village, and Brian was beginning to wonder whether she spoke American, or whether she might possibly be mute.
It is about as far as distance that we already come.
Easy walk?
She nodded, half turning to glance over her shoulder at the one-eyed man.
Easy for me. I used to walking. Not so easy for all you.
It seemed as if her eyes searched out Doc when she said that. He smiled at her, showing his wonderful teeth.
My dear child, you do me wrong. It is perfectly true that there are certain segments of my body that function less well than once they did, but that doesn't apply to all the parts. I am still capable of keeping up on a gentle stroll through the forest, just as long as we pause now and then for the briefest of rests.
The young woman looked puzzled. Jack touched her on the arm, making her jump like a startled deer.
Doc say he can walk all right.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Rainflower took Doc at his word, setting an even more brisk pace, deeper and deeper into the jungle. The trail grew more narrow.
Looks like this track isn't used all that much.
We afraid of spirits of past.
Christy moved alongside Ryan.
Why are we going to look at this ghost-haunted place, lover?
Never know what you might find. Its koala said something about there being a fight there in pre-dark times. If the natives are scared of it, then you never know what might be there waiting untouched.
And whatever walks there walks alone, as the wonderful Shirley Jackson once said.
JB was at their heels.
If it was an army base and it was sealed like the redoubts, then there's a good chance of picking up some ammo or some unknown weaponry.
JB surveyed a rusted heap of scrap metal that lay almost buried in the undergrowth just off the trail.
It's an M551.
A tank?
Ryan could see the tracks, fallen into ribbons of orange decay, and what might have been the barrel of a heavy cannon.
Light tank. It had a 4-man crew, carried a missile launcher as well as a range of machine guns. Used to be called the Sheridan. It was employed a lot out in Nam.
Has it been here ever since the new cost of 2001? I can't believe there's anything left of it.
No strong winds, no frost to break it up. Just rotting quietly away here in the jungle.
What happened to its crew?
I'll look.
Rainflower rubbed her knuckle on her forehead, turning away, looking frightened.
Don't worry. Any ghosts are long, long dead.
The hatch above the commander's control position was open, hanging on by a few threads of rusting steel. Dean knelt and started to lean in.
Look for snakes. Big snakes here.
The boy hesitated. He banged his fist a few times. Nothing happened. He slowly lowered his head inside the turret of the old tank, staying motionless for a few moments.
Nothing! Strip bare!
Come on back. Best stay on the trail. What's left of it.
The base didn't compare to some of the massive redoubts that the friends had encountered over the past months. It wasn't built into a mountainside or hidden deep underground. At first glance, it looked like an average, long-abandoned airbase back in Deathlands. A few weather-stained administration buildings and Quonset huts, surrounded by tumbled towers and fragmented coils of rusted razor wire. But it seemed as if a camouflage expert had been at work, disguising the complex. Most of the roofs had fallen in, the windows broken, and moss and vines were draped all over the ruins, so that they almost vanished into the background of the forest. Everyone stopped and stared at the lost relic from before the brief and bloody war that ended civilization as the world had known it.
Whew, kind of spooky.
I doubt we will find any human remains here. Not after nearly 100 years of tropical weather.
But there could be some hardware hidden away.
Rainflower seated herself comfortably on a fallen baobab tree.
You look for spirits of dead.
Frightened of ghosts?
Yes.
But you have a god with you. Nothing to be feared with a god at your side.
What kind of a god is Jack? What's the story about this?
The process of discovery was protracted by the young woman's poor grasp of the American tongue, But in the end, they learned something of the background to Jack's godhood. They walked past the crumpled remains of the red and white pole that had once been the first step in the security of the place, now lying broken and neglected, overgrown with weeds. They stopped by the old guardhouse, with its warning notice board almost illegible from age, showing warnings in American, Portuguese, Spanish, and in what they guessed had to be the language of the local natives. There was absolutely nothing inside the building, except for a scattered carpet of splintered glass. There, Rainflower finally unraveled a tale of legend and myth.
Back in the lost times of first man and woman, when gods walked the earth in guises, there was very beautiful girl, barely a woman. Her name was Tlatzoltiatl, and many gods desired to lie with her and father her firstborn. Because of her beauty, they knew her son would be a most marvelous human. But the maiden had no wish to be bride or mistress of any god, for she loved a young warrior of her tribe. One night, she fell into sleep and dreamed a mysterious dream. She swam a deep and beautiful lake when a dolphin came to her. A god, without name, who was sympathetic to the weeping of Tlatzoltiatl. He took her to a grotto filled with mountains of precious stones, glittering and dancing like living fire. He touched a piece of rare white jade, no larger than a pea, telling the woman that she would be saved from the lusts of other gods if she swallowed the jade. When she woke up, she walked in the forest. It was after rain, and loose dirt had washed from a steep bank outside the village. There, in the mud, lay a tiny berry of pure jade. She swallowed it and became pregnant. When the child was born, he was a boy, with eyes like rubies, and hair as white as the driven snow upon the mountain of the star itself. Kitlatepetl. He grew fast and was a full-grown man of 20 by the end of his first year. During that year, the crops grew and the rains came, and every battle was a victory. But the young man vanished on his first birthday and was never seen again. The legends told of him, told of what could come to pass.
This young man will return and all will be well. Is that it?
Rainflower nodded shyly.
Yes, old ones say this. Now he has come.
Jack had listened closely to the tale, finally shaking his head in disgust.
Old story shit. I come from the swamps. I know my mother and father, not a god.
But the young woman wasn't to be persuaded of that. During the telling of the myth, her eyes kept turning toward the albino teenager, showing unquestioning worship of him.
You sure you won't come farther with us? Maybe better than staying on your own.
Rainflower touched the holster with the 10-round Savage.
No, you look for spirits of dead, not me. With this, be safe from Whitman or Jaguar people.
Right. We'll be back in not more than an hour or so. Come on, people.
The concrete road into the base was barely visible beneath a carpet of moss. To the right, Ryan spotted another of the small tanks, settled on its tracks, covered in a shrub with brilliant orange flowers. The first building, still inside of the guardhouse, was in a terrible state, with only one wall standing. JB went closer to examine it, running his hand over the surface of the reinforced concrete.
Bullet holes, and grenade fragments and burn marks. The natives were right. There was some sort of battle here.
His foot disturbed something in the undergrowth, and he bent down, picking up a bunch of twigs and clinging vines. It wasn't until he peeled them away that the others could see that he was holding a long rifle.
I recognize that from our run-ins with Grigory Zemyanin. It's a Dragoon of Sniper's Rifle, 7.62 caliber, isn't it?
Right. The old reworked Kalashnikov, just like we saw the Ruskies using.
You mean Russians landed down here? Wherever here is.
We heard stories of them dropping paratroopers in parts of Deathlands in the last hours of Skydark, in the far northwest, Alaska, northern Canada. But nobody I know ever found any real proof of that. At least there's proof that it happened down here in the jungle.